Oh, the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. There's two great principles that we've got to keep in mind when we come to the Sermon on the Mount and these Beatitudes in particular. The first is that this sermon is not addressed to everybody. It's addressed only to a particular people. And that people are those who profess the Lord Jesus as their Savior. It is a sermon that highlights the kingdom of Christ and identifies those who are members of that kingdom. And what we have to keep in mind is that in this world, there's only two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. The kingdom of darkness we are all born into at birth by natural generation. We are born into the kingdom of darkness. And there has to come a time when, as Paul said in his letter to the Colossians, that we are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the kingdom of light. And that comes about not by natural birth, but by a spiritual birth. It's what the Lord meant when he said to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." And those who are born again of the Spirit become members of this kingdom. And in this sermon, the Lord is sketching out the characteristics of those who are the subjects of his kingdom. We've got to keep that in mind. These blessings, these beatitudes, don't belong to everybody. They belong only to those who are members of Christ's spiritual kingdom. The second principle is that the Beatitudes follow a specific order. There's a reason why they're set out in this order. It's not haphazard. The Lord just didn't say these in a haphazard way. He's setting out a divine order. You see there in verse number 3, he talks about the poor in spirit. It's not material poverty. We saw some of the pictures there in Africa of people who are in severe material poverty. That's not what the Lord is talking about here. He's talking about spiritual poverty. And he's saying that those who are the members of his kingdom recognize that they have nothing to present to God. They're spiritually bankrupt. They have no righteousness. They have no goodness of their own to earn God's favor. They are poor in spirit. There is a spiritual poverty. And then you see that in verse number 4. The Lord says, "Blessed are they that mourn." That's not mourning in the context of physical death. So often this verse is quoted at a time of physical bereavement. But that's not what the Lord is referring to. He's highlighting the characteristics of those who belong to his kingdom. And he says, when they realize that they're spiritually bankrupt, they mourn over their sin. It is their sin that has robbed them of righteousness, robbed them of God's favor, and they mourn over their sin. And then in verse 5, "Blessed are the meek." And this characteristic of meekness has to do with having a true opinion of ourselves. The Lord is saying, when a person realizes they're spiritually bankrupt and they mourn over their sin, it is then that they recognize themselves to be what they truly are in the sight of God. It's a true opinion of self. And then in verse number 6, the text that we have tonight, the Lord identifies another characteristic, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And now he's switching, as it were, to the positive characteristic. In the previous 3, there's a realization of sin. But now there is a positive hunger and thirst for righteousness, a desire to be conformed to God's ways, God's will, God's standard. This is a tremendous text, tremendous beatitude. And I want just for a few moments just to set out a couple of thoughts that arise out of what the Lord says. Is it not evident here, in the first place, that the Lord is describing the members of his kingdom as having no righteousness of their own? Now you think of this in a physical context. You can think of the children in Africa hungering for their physical food, lacking water. We saw the water tower being built there and the water line provided. Do we really know what it is to have that physical hunger, to have that physical thirst? Wherever there is physical hunger and physical thirst, it denotes emptiness. There's a lack of food. There's a lack of water. And the spiritual inference is this: they that hunger and thirst after righteousness are those who realize they have no righteousness of their own. Paul said in Romans 3 verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. We don't have that righteousness that God requires. We had it at the beginning of time, the beginning of creation, in Adam, our first parent. He was made righteous and holy, but he lost that righteousness by his sin. And every descendant of Adam naturally is born into this world without righteousness. If you come down the chapter to verse 20, the Lord talks about the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, and he says to his disciples, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, the Lord is saying, those who belong to my kingdom, their righteousness is not like the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. The righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees was a self-righteousness. It was based upon their own works, their own efforts to try and keep God's law. But the Lord said to his disciples, your righteousness must exceed that. In other words, it must be a divine righteousness. It's what Paul describes as the righteousness of God. And it's found only in the gospel. It's found only in Jesus Christ. This beatitude highlights that those who belong to Christ's kingdom have no righteousness of their own. But it also highlights the difference between a Christian's standing and his state. You think of this characteristic here, hungering and thirsting. There's a deep desire to conform to what God requires. But that identifies the fact that perfection is still incomplete. Not yet conformed. And that's very interesting and very important. It highlights the difference between a Christian's standing and his state. Our standing has to do with how God views us in Christ. When you come to Christ and you receive him by faith, his righteousness is transferred to your account. You are clothed with his righteousness, his perfection, and God looks upon you as righteous. That's your standing before God. But your state is the condition of your heart. And the condition of your heart may be very different. There is a hungering, there is a thirsting, indicating that that perfect righteousness, experiential righteousness, is not yet complete. Christian is justified in God's sight, but there is still within remaining corruption. The old nature, the old man, And very often Christians have gotten into a lot of trouble and a lot of despair and a lot of guilt because they fail to recognize the difference between our standing and our state. If you're in Christ, there's no condemnation. You're perfectly righteous because of Christ's righteousness. But in your own condition of heart, in your own experience, you wrestle with sin, with temptation, with the flesh, the world, day in, day out. You're not yet made perfect in holiness. But the Lord is also identifying here that conversion makes a fundamental change in a person's life because it produces this hunger, this thirsting. It's the result of being born again of the Spirit. Prior to conversion, an individual has no desire for what pleases God. The carnal mind is enmity with God, the Bible says. No desire to please God. But Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And when the Lord said here in verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, he's indicating that there is a great change that takes place in the heart when a person is converted. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Yes, we're not yet perfect by way of experience, but nevertheless, there's a tremendous change. It takes place when a person is saved, when a person is born again, and it produces this hunger and thirst after righteousness. But look again at the text, and you'll discover that this beatitude holds out a glorious assurance. The Lord says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. What we now presently lack will one day be complete. And the Lord gives here the promise of an entire sanctification, an entire perfect conformity to his image. You know, the world will look at Christians and the world will be very quick to point out the slightest faults in Christians. And we don't disagree because we have faults. We're not yet perfect. But one day, when we shall see him, we shall be like him. The Lord has promised it here. They shall be filled. One day we shall be perfected in holiness. And all the remnants of remaining sin will be gone forever. This is the great hope of the gospel, the great hope of the New Testament. 1 John 3 and verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Sanctification is an ongoing process in the believer's life. The Spirit of God uses the Word of God, uses providence, uses chastisements in order to purge and purify the heart. But that work's not yet complete. It'll only be completed when we reach the Father's house. The body will lie in the ground, corrode and corrupt until the day of resurrection, when the redemption of the body shall be complete and body and soul will be united forever, conformed fully to the image of Christ. That's what the Lord is talking about. They shall be filled. And there is a day coming when all believers will never sin again. Never sin again. Think about it. We'll never sin again. Never sin. They shall be filled with righteousness. But notice one final thought here. This beatitude highlights the fundamental problem with this world. I want you to notice the wording here, the order of the wording. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. The word blessed, as we have noted, means happy. You could read it like this, happy. Happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, happiness is something the world is craving for. It's the chief aim of the world. But you'll notice what the Lord does here. You notice the connection that the Lord makes between happiness and righteousness. The world seeks after happiness. Its great focus, its great objective is to obtain happiness, and yet the world is miserable. Never finds it. No matter how it looks for that happiness, it never finds it. It's never content, never satisfied. Because the world fails to grasp what the Lord is saying here. Happiness is not found by those who pursue after it, who hunger and thirst after it. It is only found by those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. There's an altogether different goal. The world seeks after happiness without asking, what is the reason for my unhappiness? The world makes happiness its goal. And it never finds it. Because it never stops to ask, why am I unhappy? Why am I not fulfilled? Why am I not satisfied? You think of a man who goes to the doctor and he's seeking relief from his pain. Pain relief is not his greatest need. It's rather the cause of the pain that needs to be addressed. The doctor can give him pain relief. It may ease the pain for a little time. But if the cause is not treated, his condition's only going to get worse. And what the world is doing is to make happiness the goal without asking, why am I unhappy? And the reason why we're unhappy, the reason why the world is unhappiness, is unhappy, is because it's not right with God. It's not righteous in the sight of God. It's that unrighteous condition. You see how the Lord doesn't put happiness as the goal. He puts righteousness as the goal. Being right with God. Being right with our Creator. And the byproduct of being right with God is this blessing. This happiness. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. For they shall be filled. What the Lord says in this beatitude highlights the fundamental problem with this world. Seeking after happiness instead of seeking after what is most important, to get right with God. And when the soul is right with God, then the soul is blessed. And we were thinking about that blessing this morning. It's the blessing of salvation. It's the blessing of being made righteous in God's sight. It's the blessing of life eternal. It is the blessing that makes the soul rich, and which nothing, no amount of toil or trouble in this world can detract from. Do you know this blessing? You'll never find it. If you make blessing the goal, you'll only find it and enjoy that blessing when you make God the goal. Getting right with Him, being saved, being a member of His kingdom. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's turn.